Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election. Let me remind you, we're still talking about the speech which was given by Representative Ilhan Omar for CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood of America. That's exactly who they are, the Muslim Jihadi, who are killing the Christian men overseas and kidnapping their wives and daughters. They're here in America, wearing suits and ties, running a non-profit organization, telling the Americans that they love Christians, and by the way, they love the Jews too. But obviously, we all know that this is just lies, as Muhammad and Allah give the Muslims the permission to lie to the infidels. But anyway, Representative Ilhan Omar, in that speech, she made her famous statement, "Some people did something." In his speech, Islamophobia and the 2020 election, Professor Todd Green mentioned that statement without making any big deal about it at all. It's like she did not say anything wrong. And then he defended her because he stated that it was a long speech. And somehow, because of the Islamophobia of Mr. Trump and the Republicans, they took that sentence out of context to smear Representative Ilhan Omar. That's why we decided in this study to look at the entire speech of Representative Omar to see, did we really take in her words out of context, or the entire speech was a great evidence for where her heart stand? It is not to stand with America as an American congresswoman. No, it is to stand with the Muslims. To do what? To engage in battle. To fight. This is not my words. Listen carefully to her own words. That is when she stated,
"It's been a really hard week for the Muslim community. And I feel extremely lucky to be here in California with all of you fighting for justice, for equality, for the right for us to equally exist in this country."
Yes, indeed. This is exactly the role of Representative Ilhan Omar, Representative Rashida Tlaib, and the rest of the Muslim representatives whom the liberals will appoint to take over this country. They're here to fight. After all, Representative Ilhan Omar was hurting, like all the Muslim community in America were hurting, for the killing of the 50 Muslims in the mosque of New Zealand. And as we found out in our study in our last broadcast, we know for sure what Allah said to the Muslim to do. They must retaliate. They must revenge. And even after the revenge of the Muslims all over the world by killing not 50 atheists, but the thousands of Christians and others who just happen to be non-Muslims. Till today, I believe the Muslim world is waiting for another opportunity to revenge for the killing of the 50 Muslims of New Zealand. Representative Ilhan Omar is telling the Muslim Jihadi of CARE and the rest of her audience that as Muslims, they must fight. And what they're going to be fighting for? For justice, for equality, the right for them to equally exist in this country. Notice here, she did not say in our home country, America, but in this country. And if you can listen to her tone, you know how much she loves this country as the rest of the Muslims love this country. As if this country did wrong to her or to any Muslim of the world. With all respect to Representative Ilhan Omar, the job you hold in this country, you could not hold in any of the 57 Muslim countries around the world. But what do you say when you bite the hand that feeds you? This is exactly what she is doing, like the rest of the Muslims who will continue to do the same in America. So let's continue a little bit more of her excellent speech. That is when she stated,
Many people expect our community to feel like it needs to hide every time something happens. But repeatedly, we have shown them that we are not to be bullied. We are not to be threatened. We are not to be terrorized. We are strong, resilient, and we will always show up to be ourselves because we know we have a right to a dignified existence and a dignified life.
Now, do you hear the language of anger? Do you hear the language of her threat to those who live in the West, the many people? She was talking about the shooting of New Zealand and the death of 50. And now we're here in America. And here in America, Representative Ilhan Omar is telling us that Muslims in America are not just criminals, but they are also victims. As she stated, many people expect our community to feel like it needs to hide every time something happened. What she's talking about? She's talking about every time Muslims carry out attacks against the Jews or the Christians, every time Muslims carry out any of their terrorist attacks, which they have been doing for the last 1400 years. But in her response, she said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to hide. We're not going to be threatened. We're not going to be terrorized. Wait a minute. Who started this mess? Who is terrorizing who? You see, we're not the criminals who killed 3,000 Americans on September 11, but we are the victims. But Ilhan Omar and her Muslim friends will fight to receive our dignity and our respect, even after they commit their terrorist acts to kill as many as they can of us. Representative Omar is telling her audience that the Americans want us to hide after we do our dirty work for Allah and Muhammad, but we will not. You know why? Because it's very simple. We're just going to tell the American people that we have nothing to do with these attacks. This is not Islam. After all, Bush told the American people, so did Obama, that Islam is love and Islam is peace. Why do you hide if you're not doing anything wrong? You're hiding because some Muslim committed the acts of Islam in the West. So your people were criminals and the logical thing for them is to hide. But Ilhan Omar will not hide. And those who surround her, CARE, the Muslim Jihadi organization who invited her to speak in that meeting, they will not hide. They will not be threatened. They will not be terrorized. And they will always be strong. We are strong, Ilhan Omar said. Resilient. We'll always show up to be ourselves because we know that we have the right to a dignified existence and a dignified life. And everybody clap hand. Hooray, hooray, Representative Ilhan Omar. So they will do the wrong things and they will not hide and they will not be terrorized. This is unbelievable. That lady has the boldness to talk about that openly. And the Muslim clapping hands. They're just simply are telling us that we are bullies and you cannot do anything to stop us. And Professor Todd Green obviously is so happy that they're not going to be victims in America. Even though the American people are actually the real victims. September 11 killed 3,000 and the Muslims did it. And if we go on and on with the numerous number of attacks which Muslims carried out all over the West and even in the Middle East, as her own people, Al-Shabaab in the country of Somalia, are killing Christians because that is the real Islam. But let's move on with the next segment of Representative Ilhan Omar. That's when she said,
the other thing that is exciting to me to be in this room is that there are very fascinating people outside who for so many years have spoken about an Islam that is oppressive, an Islam that lessens and isolates its women. And today they gather outside to protest a Muslim woman who is in Congress.
Now, Representative Ilhan Omar is talking about the people who were outside that meeting to protest Ilhan Omar and the Muslim Jihadi organization, CARE, who invited her to speak in that meeting. So she mocked them. They drove from far away. They spent too much money on the signs to protest her. And her answer was very simple. Your protest is wrong. Islam is not oppressive, and Islam does not lessen and isolate its women. Because look at me, here I am, a congresswoman in America. Wait a minute, wait a minute. You're not a congresswoman in Saudi Arabia. You're not a congresswoman in Somalia or any Muslim country. You don't give credit for being a congresswoman to Islam because Islam does not allow you to do that. It is America who made you a congresswoman, not Islam. So we're going to be talking today about the first objection Ilhan Omar had against the protesters, which is Islam is oppressive. In our next broadcast, we'll be talking about Islam, which lessens and isolates its women.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at Vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Is Islam an oppressive cult? Representative Omar will tell you absolutely not, for Islam is freedom and liberty. Are you sure, Representative Omar? Have you ever heard about the history of the entire continent of Africa and what the Muslim did to the people of Africa, including your own people in Somalia? Maybe we need to learn a little bit about slavery in Africa. Not the slavery in America, which only lasted 200 years, which was unbiblical and ended with the help of white Christians who fought for the slaves. But I'm talking about the slavery in Africa of the black people of Africa who were taken to the Muslim world according to the teaching of Allah in the Quran. I'm not going to talk a lot about that because we have a full presentation which is titled Revealing the Truth About Slavery in Islam. But I want to share a little bit about what Islam did to the African people, the people of Representative Ilhan Omar. First, let us look at a quick glimpse of the history of slavery in Africa, which I believe Representative Omar knows nothing about.
Very little attention has been given to the Islamic slave trade across the Sahara, the Red Sea, and the Indian Ocean. The Muslim involvement in the slave trade has lasted over 14 centuries and still continues in some parts of the Muslim world. The percentage of slaves who died in transit in the Trans-Sahara and East African slave trade was between 80 and 90%. Most of the slaves sent to the Middle East were for sexual exploitation in harems or for military service. Very few descendants of the slaves that ended up in the Middle East survived. Most of the male slaves shipped to the Middle East were castrated, and most of the children born were killed at birth. However, nearly 30 million Africans were enslaved in the Muslim Middle East, since 80% of those captured by Muslim slave traders died in transport. It is estimated that over 110 million Africans died in the Muslim slave trade. There was no similar opposition to slavery within the Muslim world. Muslim slave traders enslaved an additional 2 million Africans. By some calculations, the number of victims of the 14 centuries of Islamic slave trade could exceed 180 million. It was not until 1980 that some Muslim countries removed legalized slavery from their statutes. Today, many international organizations document that slavery still continues in some Muslim countries.
Maybe the members of CARE or some Muslim in America will tell you that this have nothing to do with Islam. It's a bad history. After all, Americans had slaves and slaves were taken to Europe. No, my friends. I want to share with you the source of slavery in Islam. It's actually the second important lesson which I would love to teach Representative Ilhan Omar. It is the teaching of the words of Allah in the Quran. Maybe Representative Omar will tell you, "Well, I am from Africa. I'm not a slave." You know why? Because your people submit to Islam. That is your ancestors. Otherwise, you will not be here today because you'll be like many of those who were killed in the Muslim world. And we learn about that from the following verse, the verse of the sword, that is Quran chapter 9, verse 5, when Allah said,
"So, when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So, if they repent and perform the prayer and give the legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful."
Notice here, the command of Allah was given to the Muslims to do three things. Number one, to kill the polytheists. Number two, to take them as captives or slaves. And that's exactly why the Muslims took the 180 million black men and women out of Africa as slaves to the Muslim world. Number three is for the people to convert to Islam. And that's exactly what most likely the ancestors of Representative Ilhan Omar did. They just said the Shahada and converted to Islam. That's why they're alive today. But let's move on to another important verse in the Quran, and that is Quran chapter 4 and verse 25, when Allah said,
"And whoever among you who cannot marry the free believing women, so have sex with those whom your right hand possesses from your young believing girls."
Here we go, Representative Omar. If you cannot afford to pay dowry for marrying a free Muslim woman, just have sex with the slaves. After all, Muslims have plenty of them. How about just simply Muslim men raping the married women of the infidels? Well, we got a verse for you. That is Quran chapter 4 and verse 24, where Allah said,
"And married women are also forbidden, except all that your right hand possesses. This is the decree of Allah for you. And it is lawful to you, besides this, to seek out women with your money, chaste without fornication."
And if you want to know the story behind that verse, you will know that the followers of Muhammad, the Muslim fighters who were fighting for Muhammad, were able to capture some of the women whom their husbands were still alive. And Muhammad followers were hesitating to have sex with these females. But Muhammad came up with this wonderful verse to give them the permission of Allah to get involved with all these women sexually who are married and their husbands are still alive. Well, let's move on to another verse in the Quran. That is Quran chapter 23 verses 5 and 6, where Allah there said,
"And those who are guarding their private parts, except from their spouses or what their right hand possess, so surely they are not blamed."
Yes, indeed, Representative Ilhan Omar. There is no blame on the Muslim men to rape their slaves, to be involved sexually with what their right hand possesses. These are the slaves. Not only the Muslim man was given the blessing of Allah to have slaves and to be involved with them sexually, but even to hire them as prostitutes. After all, Allah is forgiving, merciful. And that is what we read in Quran chapter 24 and verse 33.
"And do not compel your young females to become prostitutes if they want to keep chaste, so that you seek the material of this world's life. And whoever compels them, so surely after they were compelled, Allah is forgiving, merciful."
One big lie I hear about a lot here in America, that Muslim people used to free slaves. And that is exactly why Muslims were buying slaves to start with, just simply to set them free. But now I'm going to teach you, Representative Omar, about your apostle Muhammad, whom you believe to be the man who set the slaves free. As we're going to read about him from the Hadith, that is the third source of knowledge you need to be familiar with so you know your Islam very well. And that is what we read in Sahih Muslim or Sahih Bukhari. And that is authentic sources for the saying of Muhammad. In Hadith number 765 in volume 3, we read,
"Maimuna bint al-Haris freed a slave girl without taking the permission of the Prophet. She said, 'Do you know, O Allah's Apostle, that I have freed my slave girl?' He said, 'Have you really?' She said, 'Yes.' He said, 'You would have got more reward if you had given her to one of your maternal uncles.'"
So from this hadith, obviously we learn that Muhammad was not interested in freeing slaves. Well, how about hadith number 734 in volume 7?
"At the door of Muhammad's room, there was a slave to whom I went and said, 'Ask permission for me to enter.'"
Here we go, Representative Omar. Muhammad obviously had slaves in his very own house. How about hadith number 512 in volume 5?
"The Prophet had their warriors killed, their offspring and women taken as slaves.
And this is what we call the Sunnah of Muhammad. If Muhammad did it, it is to be followed by the Muslim believers. How about in Sharia? What does the Hadith state about Islamic slavery? In Hadith number 3499 and Hadith number 3500, we read,
"The contractual obligation of a slave is 3 days. If he finds defect in the slave within 3 days, he may return it without any evidence. If he finds a defect after 3 days, he will be required to produce evidence that the slave had the defect when he brought it."
And from here, Representative Omar, we learn that it's okay, according to Sharia, to take slaves for a test drive. How about the great thinker, Ibn Khaldun? I wonder, what did he think about slaves?
The preeminent Islamic medieval historian and social thinker, Ibn Khaldun, wrote, "The Negro nations are submissive to slavery because they are quite similar to dumb animals."
I can only imagine if I made that statement, or say even worse, if Mr. Trump made that statement, that would be the end of our lives, or say the end of America. But that is how Muslim great historian and theologian and thinker Ibn Khaldun thinks of you, Representative Omar. As a Negro woman, you are just submissive to slavery because you are quite similar to a dumb animal. And you're telling me here in America that Islam is the religion of liberty and freedom? You're out of your mind, sister. And to continue in our study of Islamophobia and the 2020 election, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.